Plot Twist I Forgot. I am Davin.
I'm Laura.
And welcome back to our discussion chat where we are really going to give this our best go because we missed a recording day and we kind of forgot a little bit of the story, The Brightlands by John Frame.
Now it's been 3 weeks.
It has been 3 weeks. Yeah.
And it's there, but it's also not so good for me.
It sucks because, like, when I started it on when I was walking my dog in the morning, and for some reason, I, like, couldn't fully connect at first at the beginning, so I feel like that first chunk that I was listening to, like, the first few chapters, I was like, what is going on? I don't know how we got here and what's happening, so it'll be a fun time.
That's been happening to me in the car lately. Like, every time I start an audiobook, I'm like, I'm so into this. And then I'll be, like, thinking about work or about something else, like, on my drive. Yes. And all of a sudden, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't even know how we got. Like, I'm a quarter of the way through a book I'm listening to, and I have no idea how we got where we are because I wasn't paying attention, apparently.
And then you have to restart or just go back a few chapters. So it's always a whole thing, but we're going to give this our best go because it's a spoiler chat. So if you haven't read it yet, just know that. Maybe stop listening and go read it and then come back. Or if you're weird and you like spoilers before you go read something, then this is the episode for you.
Yeah. You're going to know it all.
Not really, because we don't even know it all. We just read it for the second time. So you're going to know something.
Just so you know where we're at. Off air. Davin and I spent probably the last 5 minutes, Davin searching through her home for her physical copy of the book, and me listening to random chapters of the audiobook, trying to remember all the character names. So that's where we're at.
Yes.
Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome. But also, what do you expect? We've never claimed to be very organized or, like, you know, just one thought. We're all over the place. What's new?
There's no plan. Hello.
How's it going? There is no plan, but okay, going into it, I think we talked a little bit about it in the last episode, but did you have any, were you excited to revisit this for any specific reason, or, like, did it still hold up for you? Like, did you still love it the same amount as you did?
I did, yeah. I was excited to reread it because I remembered really liking it, and I think it's, like, associated with a time period, like, when I originally listened to it. Not with all the bad things that were happening, but I super vibed with the quarantine of COVID. Like, just being at home and reading books and, like, going on walks outside and people having to stay 6 feet away from me. I know that that is sometimes a hot take, and if we could do that without all of the bad, that'd be great. Yes. But so I listened to this book during, like, when I was working from home in quarantine, and I remember driving out to the beach at lunch to take a walk, and by the beach I mean Lake Michigan, not the real beach. And I did, like, a little hike while listening to the story, and it was just, like, the best afternoon. And I think some of my feelings are kind of wrapped up in, like, having a good day with this book, even though this book is truly brutal.
Yes.
But it's such a good book. And the way it starts out, where it's like, you think it's a thriller and, like, you're solving a mystery and it's a little bit procedural. And then all of a sudden it goes full blown horror. And I mean all of a sudden, like, there are inklings throughout the book, little sprinkles. But when the horror finally hits, it's just like a freight train.
Yes, that is 100% correct. Same. I do remember. And also I think one thing for this, for me, is I remember, and I don't know what it is, I should have looked it up before recording, but I know because when this came out, obviously, you know, Trump was in office at that time again, but there's something about the creature, we'll get into it, is, like, linked to that, so at the same, like, to some weird conspiracy or something, and so that, I don't know, that was always at the forefront of my mind because it was also...
I'm glad it's at the forefront of yours because I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember that? No. Yeah, whatever. The creature's name, whatever it was, some sort of conspiracy or something. So there was also that going for it where it was like... there was just a lot of commentary on it as a whole for that time period, I think.
Yeah, well, that makes sense because it's set in this, like, small Texas town that's full of homophobes. And so it tracks that That would be mentioned. But it's
so crazy to even say homophobes with how the story goes. It's like, are you really? Because it just sounds like you're repressed, to be honest. I mean, it both can be true, but come on.
Yeah, it's a conundrum for sure, but like, look at not every, but a lot of like serial killers, like male serial killers, like
Yeah.
they say some things, but
And they do the complete opposite, and you're like, okay, but make it make sense. The math does not math.
yeah.
You don't like it, but you're doing
Be
it.
who you are. Accept it. Don't
Yes.
drug high school
Just.
kids and murder
I.
people.
And murder people. Yes, lots of murder. So yeah, this one, we're in a small Texas town of Bensley, and it is. I think everyone always compares it to Friday Night Lights because it is a very big football town. Everyone is going. I think what they said that people were like getting to the big game like 5 hours early to get a good spot at the bleachers. Like this
Yeah,
town,
tailgating a
ride
high
or
school
dies.
football game,
Yeah,
which
which is
I
crazy.
assume is like commonplace in the South. I don't know. I hear about it so often that I'm just like, that's weird, but good for you.
I think it depends. Like when I lived in Montana, I think there was definitely a big thing about sports,
You lived
especially
in
football. Like,
Montana?
oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, for like a year I lived in Montana,
I did
because
not
my
know
mom
that.
moved there and my brother lived there. And yeah, so when I was in middle school, there was definitely, small town and sports, they just go together
Yeah.
very easily. So that part, I don't think my experience wasn't the same level, but it doesn't surprise me that that would happen. And then of course it leads to all the other things that we get into with like people not feeling like they can be themselves because they have this huge spot. Like you're literally on a billboard with your girlfriend, and then other things happen and it's like, well, that's a lot of pressure for someone that age.
Yeah, I don't get the hero worship of a child. I never will.
Well, but like, think about how many times people say, like, high school will be the best years of your life. Like, there are so many people where high school was peak for them.
Yeah,
And it's that.
I don't
I mean,
know.
look at the guy who had his graduating years and the mascot tattooed on his butt
This
in
is
the book.
in the
Like,
book, by the way, not a person.
oh yeah, so like, yeah, no, me and Laura Norris know someone who did that. Totally kidding. No, it's in the book. One of the
Todd.
characters. Todd. Todd does that does sound like the name of someone who would do that. 1,000%.
I
I know. That's why I came up with it.
know.
But but we're in this small town, and I think the book opens up. Doesn't it open up with Joel? Because he's
Yeah,
having the
it
dream and
opens
he's
up with
texting.
Joel, and he is in New York at the time, and he's getting
Yeah.
text messages from his younger brother Dylan, kind of about how he's struggling with football and the pressure that football brings, and the town and his status in the town. And Joel has kind of not been like out of his brother's life, but they're not super close. Like, Joel left this town for reasons we'll get into, and he just never looked back. And he gets these kind of worrying text messages from Dylan, and he's like, you know what? I'm going out there. I can go help him. And so he flies to Bentley, Texas,
Yep.
on the day of a big sports ball game.
A sports ball game. Yeah, it's like one of the, isn't it like one of the playoffs? Like
I
it's not
think
the big
it's
game, but
before finals. What happens before semifinals? Yeah.
semifinals, something like that.
I think
Yeah,
it's
we're there.
semifinals.
I don't know, this isn't a sports podcast. I couldn't tell you.
I don't know. I think that's what it's
I have
called.
no idea.
But Joel gets there on the date of this like big game and kind of talks to his brother a little bit before he goes out to play, and the game is obviously great and exciting, and they win. So they're going to finals. Yippee. And again, after the game, he sees his brother, and his brother's like, hey, I really, his Dylan, the little brother, is like, I really need to blow off steam. Like, I'm gonna spend the night away with my friends. Like, I'll see you when I get back. And Joel didn't tell him he was coming, so he's just like, okie dokie, I guess.
Yeah. Like peace out, see you later. But then too, before during halftime, I think, or it's either at halftime or right after the game, they're in the locker room, all the guys, and they start getting this text. Almost all the players except one that we know of, which is Jamal, because we end up following. We have multiple POVs that we follow, and Jamal is one of them. Mm-hmm. And so he's Dylan's best friend. They're in the locker room, and I forget who it is, because it's two of the guys who were very important later on, and I forget who they are, but, you know, he's talking to them, and he's trying to ask them, like, hey, what was on your phone? And he's like, don't ask us. So then that's, like, one of the initial mysteries, is something is being sent around to all the football players, but it's being kept very hush-hush yeah. as to what this is.
Yeah. And then Joel runs into his old high school girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, because she's arresting one of his bullies,
yeah.
I think, is what it was. Like, I forget what his name was, but
drunk guy number one.
Drunk drug dealer number one.
Yes. And, like, they have a talk. It's kind of an undercurrent through the whole book that their relationship in high school, like, Joel feels really bad because he always knew he was gay. And
yeah.
Have we said that yet? Joel is gay. Surprise.
Oh, no, but that's important. Yeah.
Joel always knew, but he was with Starsha and, like, loved her in some way, but obviously on, like, a friend level in high school, and they were very close. And then it didn't end well, per se.
Well, you go to find out that he ended up having a huge crush on her brother.
Yeah.
So then it was kind of hard for him to be, like, with her, because he did actually care about her, but then he's also, like, really into her brother.
Yeah.
Like big time.
That would make it difficult.
It would kill the vibe, you know, very much so. And, yeah, so they get arrested, and that dude gets arrested, and they kind of have, like, a weird little encounter, because I think she just recently moved back, like, 3 years ago or something, and she's on the force. And then Dylan and his friends go away for the weekend,
and I know Joel receives some text messages from Dylan, and it's kind of, like, again, concerning messages about football and his life, and he can't go back to football, he can't come back to this town, he wants to run away forever. And Joel's message to him was, like, come home, I can fix this. I'm going to get you out of here.
Yes, because one of them is, like, you know, I can't play football anymore. I don't want to do this. But also, I haven't slept. Like, I haven't slept, or I keep having dreams. And that's, like, the first, like, little seed that's planted about the horror aspect that we end up going into.
He says, I can't go to the Brightlands anymore.
That's right. Okay, that's the other mystery, is you start hearing about the Brightlands.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, what is this? And then later on you hear KT Staler, who is one of the football players and one of the guys I think they go away with that weekend after that game, is like, oh, I'm going away with my Brightlands boys.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, not everyone knows, even the girlfriends don't know what this is. It's just a select few football players.
Right. Some of the football players, and, like, coincidentally, all of their girlfriends are cheerleaders or whatever, and, like,
yeah,
they're not really trying to figure out what they get up to after games. They're just like, they do their thing and we do ours, and that's the way it is, I guess.
Yeah.
But these boys, Dylan and KT Staler, and I think there are others, but I don't remember their names. We'll call them Boy 1 and 2. they go away a lot of weekends, and Bethany yes. Tanner is Dylan's girlfriend, and she is head cheerleader, and together they lord over the town of Bentley, Texas. but again, she doesn't ask a lot of questions, and on the day of the game, she goes home early because she's not feeling well. I'm doing air quotes. basically, from there, Joel, I don't know, what does he do? He drives around, he gets mud on his convertible.
Well, because there's a point where, like, I think they all come back but Dylan. Or, like, he's concerned, like, something happens, and he's getting the weird text, and they're like, he's fine, like, why are you worried about him?
Yeah. Well, when he's, like, worried, he's driving around, and he goes to visit his old friend, Wes?
Oh, the pastor guy.
Yeah, who is now a youth pastor, and they do some drinking together, and Wes gets a little handsy. He, like, falls into Joel.
Yeah, just like flush against his back, and it's like I felt his breath in my neck, and it's like okay. So it's, you know, there's something else because, well, oh, I remember. So there was a part when he first sees Wes again before this at the game. They're sitting down, and there's a male cheerleader on the team, and Joel's like, whoa, like, I never thought I would ever see this in this town.
A lot ever. More of that around here these days.
Yeah,
my best Southern impression.
He's just like, and then he's like the only one clapping, and everyone gives him a weird look, and it's like, okay, so you, again, the seeds are planted that, you know, they don't. There's very strict gender rules. No, not at all. So you have all of that, and then Joel leaves immediately after that happens because he's like, what is going on? No, thank you. Not interested. Yep. Gonna leave. And then he leaves.
And then the next morning when Dylan is supposed to come back, he doesn't come back. And everyone's like, it's not that big of a deal, you know? He's 17. He gets to run around unsupervised, and I don't need to know where he's going. Blah, 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 whatever, no big deal.
Because he's a star football player. Like, all the star players, like, they can get away with anything.
Yeah.
Truly. So everyone is just like, who cares? Like, they're just out doing whatever they want to do. It's fine. They're going to win us the championship, so why do you care?
Right. But Joel can't shake the feeling something's wrong, and I think he goes to Starsha.
I think so. Well, because he, like, they're still kind of, like, iffy with each other, and he tries to go voice his opinions to multiple people, and then it just doesn't land until they find his body.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And by they, I'm like, his body, it's Dylan's body.
Yeah.
Dylan is dead.
Even though they kept saying, Dylan's not missing. And then they did finally accept that he was missing, I think. But yeah, no, Dylan ends up dead in a ditch out in some field. And the only reason his body was found is because drunk man number two was out taking care of the Evers's field? Is that right?
Oh, God, I don't... We're going to say it is, yes.
Okay. He's like a... Not a groundskeeper, but he's a farmer who had to sell his land. But the people who bought the land from him, like, let him maintain it, I guess. And he was out on his tractor and found a corpse.
That's... What a... It's not exactly what you expect to find when you're farming, but I guess. Yeah. Can you imagine?
No. Yes, no, I could. No, thank you. Wouldn't be good.
It would not be good. It would not be good. So then, you know, from there, they're trying to find all the boys, right? Because one of the guys that went away, KT Staler, is also gone. And the morning that the news drops, that, you know, the Bisonettes have this whole little group chat. And I think we're on Kimbra's POV at that point, and she's trying to send texts. And you kind of immediately get the feeling that Kimbra knows something.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is, but she is a little bit more.
She is KT Staler's girlfriend. And KT is one of the boys who went on this, like, weekend trip with them. And she's like, oh, I know I'm going to have to tell a bunch of lies soon, which is disconcerting. But then all the kids just, like, go to school, and the police question them at school, because that's legal.
Yeah, you know, they do that. It's totally fine. Until
they question Jamal real hard, and he's like, oh, yeah, I went with them on this trip, but Dylan left by himself, and KT drove me home.
That's right.
And they're like, Jamal, like, we know it was you or whatever. And he breaks and is, like, crying because he was actually Dylan's best friend. But I think he still maintains that he was with them at that time.
Yes, because there's another lie that it gets unfolded eventually. But that's what his story is. And, you know, they kind of question Bethany and everyone. And she's just like, so you're okay with your boyfriend going out whenever? And she's like, he has his guys, I have my girls. Like, I don't care what he's doing. And it's like, okay.
Sure.
You know, that's a little suspicious. What do you mean you don't care what's going on?
And then they interview KT, and his story doesn't match Jamal's.
No, I don't think it's KT's, because they don't have him back yet. He doesn't come back for, like, another week.
Don't they get him back and then he runs away again?
Mm-mm.
I don't.
No, I forget. His story doesn't match up with someone's. Because, so there's four guys who go, right? And, you know, you think five, because I guess Jamal was supposed to be there. Spoiler alert, he was not with them on this trip, but that was his story. And they interview one of the other two guys that are important later, I think.
Yeah.
And that's when they find out that, oh, hey, it doesn't match up.
So they know something's going on with these boys, but they don't know what. At some point during this, Jamal's car breaks and he takes it to a mechanic. And the police search his car.
So I think what Yes, okay. So what had happened? So through this, at some point, you find out that what really had happened was Bethany and Jamal spent the weekend together because, and she
Yeah,
tells Joel Whitley this.
but before that all comes out, they find the bloody sock in his car and they arrest Jamal. And then Bethany comes out and is like, it couldn't have been him because he was with me. And she admits that, like, in the school parking lot. And her dad finds out. And her dad, dun dun dun, racist. And Jamal is black, and so she didn't want her dad to find out, and he does smack her around. I don't know.
Yeah, he is abusive to her, so she comes because he finds out. I think the dad ends up finding out because she talks about how, like, her house is very secure, so her dad knows, like, her dad was out of town, but he gets notifications when, like, the gate opens, and there's security cameras, so
And
she thought she could get away
she
with
said
it,
she
but
never left all weekend or something, but there was like a ding on the gate and her dad, there's a video camera maybe.
yeah, there is a video camera, but too, it was like they left, but no one ever came back. So it's like you can't even say that you like went to go get food or you went to go hang out with someone because no one ever came back that day or even that weekend. I don't think anyone else like exited at all.
So the question is, how did the bloody sock end up in Jamal's car? We may never know. Because we're also following Joel as he's kind of like investigating on his own all of the weird things that have been happening in this town. The old Baptist church burnt down?
Oh yeah, because that's one of the things he notices is he was driving, and I think you could see it from the football field, and then he can't, and he's and his mom is like, yeah, you know, it burnt down, what, like a year ago or something, and he was like, no way, never would have thought. So then it's also like, what happened? Because I think the pastor was upset and is like, you know, what do you, what happened?
And as Joel is like driving around figuring these things out, every once in a while he hears over the radio a creepy little voice saying, I missed you.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that because that happens right when he drives into town the first time and he's like, what the heck is
And
this?
that at the beginning, that's really the only like thing that lets you know that maybe this is horror, or maybe at the time you're supposed to
Yes.
think Joel's crazy, because he is like popping pills during this whole thing.
Yes, he is.
So maybe you're supposed to think that, and like as he's driving around and getting these signals, he's having kind of like impulses because he doesn't think the cops are doing a good job of like looking for Dylan's real killer. He knows it wasn't Jamal, and so he's trying to figure out who it actually was. And so he's talking to these high school kids, and like at one point Luke's old best friend that he had a falling, oops, Dylan's old best friend that he had a falling out with, Luke Evers, Joel wants to like talk to him, and he takes him down, I don't know where it is, a alley.
No, I think it's the park where what
There's
happened to
a,
Joel
right, there's
happened.
like a tunnel in the park or something. He's down a set of stairs so that no one can see him. And the parking lot is like elevated. And he has this conversation with Luke in this spot where something horrible happened to him as a kid. And he has this like huge urge to stab this child until he hears like Luke's little brother yelling from him for him from a car. So
Yes,
like
yeah,
this
because
being back in this town is like affecting Joel. He's like getting rage and hearing voices and having the occasional blackout.
because you also it kind of comes along so sudden that you don't realize, like the way he wrote it was kind of cool because it's just like all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but it builds in a way where you're like, oh, okay, he's like wanting to strangle this kid. And then it goes away, and he's like, what was I doing?
Yeah, how did
Like,
that happen to
why did
me?
I? Yeah, like, what's going on? And then you start to hear over time, and maybe it's not like a huge horror element at the time, but you start to hear more a threat as people not sleeping. So like ever since Dylan went missing, you start to hear more and more that just no one is sleeping.
Right.
And they hear whispers.
Everyone in the town is having nightmares if they do sleep. And a couple of like the older residents, chronologically, I'm messing this up, but I know a couple of the older residents are like, oh, it's not like last time. Like, I remember that line when the town goes utterly into chaos. Cause like half the book, it's they're calmly looking for what really happened to Dylan. And then the other half of the book, there's like a lady who drives into the bank. They set fire to something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it kind of gets a little more when, because then you're following Starsha a little bit, who, one thing, so Joel had a thing for Starsha's brother, right? He ends up leaving, and I think that, like, he just left their relationship, like, he never just broke up with her, I don't think.
Well, and so,
right?
Those pictures of him come out, and that's what ends their relationship.
Okay.
So, the last time that Joel was in said tunnel at the park or whatever, you find out that he did have a secret affair with Starsha's brother. It wasn't just a crush. Yeah. They were actually, like, together in secret. And they used to meet, you know, under the old oak tree and whatever. And this park was a place where they used to meet. And Joel hadn't seen him in a while. And it seemed like he was, like, Starsha's brother, whose name I don't remember. It seems like he was growing distant, and there were some rumors that he was involved with drugs, and it seemed like he was going to kind of like a dark place, and Joel hadn't seen him in a while, and he finally got a call from him, and he's so excited to meet him. And again, it was after like this big football game, and he goes to the tunnel, and the sheriff at the time catches him there, and there is like an assault.
Yeah.
That was really hard to hear. And during this, the sheriff takes pictures of Joel and still says, like, oh, if you do this, like, you won't be in trouble or whatever. Makes him undress, takes these pictures, does some just gross stuff, and still arrests Joel.
Yep.
And I don't remember what the charge was, public indecency or something. But whatever it was all fabricated and untrue. Like, his crime was being there when the sheriff showed up. Very shortly after this incident takes place, every newspaper in town is delivered with one of those lewd pictures of Joel.
Yeah.
And when that comes out, it kind of all comes out that, like, Joel is gay. And that's what ends his relationship with Starsha and really the town in general.
Yeah, and that's what made him want to leave, understandably.
Yeah. Well, how could you not?
Oh, of course. Like, if I could, I would have left too. There's no shot. I mean, you have someone in power that does that to you. Like, what hope do you have of, even if, like, say, those photos weren't released, like, what hope do you have of just wanting to stay in that town and feeling safe when a sheriff did that, you know?
Right.
Like, that's a weird thing. And then adding the photos in, it's like, okay, well, everyone knows now that I'm gay, even if people maybe had suspicions, which I think was kind of talked about off and on, that people, you know, before he came out thought he was gay.
Yeah.
And then you just live in a town that is super homophobic. So, like, there's no shot that you're going to be like, yes, I will stay with my parents and my family and just have a happy life, because that really doesn't exist.
No. And I think I can't remember the main back then bully, drunk guy number 3. I think he was the one who claimed that he sent the pictures out, but he's so, also but one of the ones who was like, oh, you're gay and I'm gonna fight you because of that. Joel punches him in the face.
Yes, I was gonna say, like, he says something, Joel punches him in the face, and that's what gets him upset to where he sends him, because what you find out is that, like, the Brightlands have been around for a long time, so you have different segments of people who know what it is, know enough about it to know that it is kind of like an exclusive invite. And so you have, like, basically the have and the have-nots, the people that are invited and the people that are not invited. And I think the bullies were some of the Joel's era who would go to the Brightlands because, and they were connected with Starsha's brother. I want to say his name was Troy.
Yeah, that sounds right.
we'll say it's Troy. If I'm wrong, then oops.
Sorry, John Fram.
Sorry, John Fram. We are not doing this justice. But that happens, and you find out that he had told Troy what was going to happen, and he was trying to, like, get them to stop, and that's why Troy ended up coming to the meeting point, but then he leaves basically pretty quickly after once he sees the sheriff's car there. So then that happens, but you find out that the sheriff was there in the first place because that bully called him, because he wanted his revenge on Joel for punching him. Mm. And so his solution was to do this instead.
Ugh.
Yeah, gross. But then also, sometime after, pretty close, another part of the story, there's a lot of mysteries and a lot of things that happen, really, that deal with the young men in the town, and one of those is Starsh's brother Troy going missing.
Yeah.
And no one really knowing what happened, because you kind of get the impression that, like, towards the end, he may have been a drug addict, or people think he was a drug addict. Yeah,
everyone thinks he was, like, selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And he was definitely a drug addict at a time, because even his sister, Starsha, is, like, remembers yelling at him and whatnot because he was an addict. But, yeah, they say that, you know, he was selling drugs and ran out of town to avoid whatever punishment was going to happen. And that's part of the reason that Starsha joined the police force, is because she just couldn't accept that her brother was just, like, missing and there were no details and no one could figure out what was happening. And mm-hmm. so part of the reason why she joined is so she could have access to the case files.
But then I think even, like, what she has access to is super limited. Mm-hmm. But then it's her partner who ends up telling her a little bit more, because then, of course, unsurprisingly, the police force is very corrupt as well.
Yeah.
In this small town. So eventually she does get another file, which is how you learn that someone was arrested together, and you find out, like, certain people did drugs together or sold drugs together, including, like, Katie Staler, and there's someone else too.
Yeah, in, like, the current timeline, you see that, yeah, like, three boys got in trouble over the summer.
Well, one of them was the guy who got arrested, like, that bully guy.
Yeah.
At the night of the game. So he got arrested along with KT Staler and some other guy. Because then when they're questioning the other guy who is, like, the main, almost like one of the main kids at the Brightlands, mm-hmm. that's when the coach is like, why are you questioning him? Like, leave him alone. He didn't do anything. It's fine. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. So they've swept drug charges under the table, but Luke Evers also gets caught in a car with a boy. I can't remember if the cops catch him or if it's just, like, his dad, but he also, like, gets kind of in trouble, and that's part of the reason, like, his dad is estranged from him, because his dad found out that he was, like, with a boy canoodling. And so when Luke gets the opportunity to be the quarterback, because Jamal is in jail and he was the backup quarterback and Dylan is dead, and so Luke Evers takes over as the quarterback, and it's, like, the first time his dad is ever proud of him.
I literally don't remember that part. I know that he didn't have an alibi, and that was one thing everyone was trying to keep secret, was the fact that Luke Evers, quote unquote, didn't have an alibi, but then someone who lived across the street from him was like, Luke Evers was not home, and that's very unlike him because his mom is, like, very hardcore.
Yeah.
And
but that's, Luke starts having these private counseling sessions with the pastor because his parents found out that he was gay.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay, yes.
I do remember
that.
Yeah. So on the other hand, so Luke is having this big moment, right? But you find out mm-hmm. that he's been having private sessions with the pastor. And I don't remember how... Oh my god, my brain just turned off. What's the main character's name?
Joel.
Joel. Dylan. I wanted to say Glenn so badly, and I don't know.
And so Glenn, new character Glenn. New
character Glenn. I can't remember how he figures it out, but he's like, oh, my old friend Wes is gay and he's having a relationship with Luke. Like, this whole book is just like bombshell, bombshell, bombshell.
It really is. Well, because you have, like, all these, like, eight little seemingly unrelated mysteries that all really tie into
right.
how far people will go to
get to the Brightlands, or be a part of the Brightlands, or hide things for the Brightlands.
or not like that too, but also just hide who they are in a sense. Like they're so, you know, the traditional like gender,
yeah,
quote unquote values and roles are so instilled in them that when they don't align, you know, we'll get into it a little bit more, but it's like how far people will go to like have this outlet to be who they really are just so they can return to their daily lives, and it breeds all this crazy violent stuff because like you can't have very high profile people turn out to be gay, because God forbid that happens and the whole world would be chaos if that were true. Well, because so he, Joel finds out because he, when he was at Wesley's house, because he goes back for some reason, I don't remember why, because something was revealed, so he goes back to talk to Wes, and he basically like immediately beelines for the bathroom, but then locks himself in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And then he's like looking through the drawers and he finds something like Luke's some sort of token metal, yeah, it was like something that Luke was given, and so he was just like, okay, so Luke was with you, because like, you know, Luke wasn't with where everyone was saying he was, and it's, you don't find out later that Luke is also gay. Him and Dylan kind of like had a thing, but not like crazy, and then he was moving on, he was trying to get with Wes.
Yeah,
Luke was like, Luke was interested, but Wes was like, we can't do this.
I'm remembering all the other, like, drama portions of this book.
I know, this is so jumbled, but I feel like when you're reading it, like,
it all makes sense when you're reading it, but, like,
trying to explain it in a timeline is hard.
3 weeks later, trying to timeline of events is crazy, and I have no idea.
No, but yeah, no idea. This will be fun to edit later when I try to hear what the hell we're talking about.
We're not talking about anything. We're just like, what about the next piece of gossip? Dylan like was an escort in Houston. Like
that. Yes, because so you have through Joel's investigation, because he doesn't feel like the cops are really doing anything to figure out what happened to his brother, which he is correct, and we'll find out why later. But one of this big things still is like what was being passed around, because then even Luke starts asking about it, I think, to two players, and he was like, what was it? Or it was Kimbra.
Yeah.
I think too, because Joel is trying to talk to Kimbra because she just seems like the easiest person who is like in the mix, but also not fully like brainwashed into like the popular crowd. And so he's trying to get info from her, and she starts asking around about what are the Brightlands, what was being passed around. And I think she sends it to him. She ends up getting the link, but what was passed around was an escort page for Dylan in like Dallas or something.
Yeah. I think it was Houston. It doesn't matter. Texas, big town.
Some other big town in Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas. sorry.
Not a SpongeBob reference.
The stars at night are big.
In Texas. I know.
Sorry. I'm ready now.
You're ready now? You're ready now.
I got off track. Anyway.
But you, yeah, you find that out because when Joel is like through some of his investigative stuff, he's talking to his mom's boyfriend, and he mentions in passing like, oh, it was so nice of you to send Dylan that money or, you know, something. And he's like, I've literally never sent Dylan money ever. What are you talking about?
In his head. Out loud, he's like, yeah, man, I love to send him money.
Yeah, totally. Love my brother so much. Yeah,
because the stepdad's like, oh, I took him to open a savings account. He always appreciated that money that you sent him. I put in $2,000 of my own or whatever.
Yes.
And so at that point, Glenn.
Glenn. Joel starts to think like, what are you doing? Because there is obviously a very big history of kids selling drugs in this town. So he's like, he finds the money. He sees like a nice gold Rolex or gold watch in general that Dylan had, and some pills in a bottle that didn't come from a, you know, from a pharmacy. And so he's like, okay, was my brother dealing drugs? And then you find the escort page. And he's like,
oh,
okay.
He's a sex worker.
Can't look at that. Yeah, like, all right. And then, you find out later, though, that that was a fake page. Uh-huh.
It was fabricated.
It was fabricated, but then someone is like, Joel starts to think, okay, did someone kill Dylan because he was gay because they found out about this page? You know, if it was circulating around, who knows who knew what? So, like, what if this was like a hate-related murder? I think at some point is kind of where that goes.
Yeah.
Part of this, too, is also, like, where is KT Staler? And then he ends up getting arrested in another town. Yeah,
he is also arrested in, like, Houston or something for
drugs,
probably. And you find out how corrupt this police force is, because, like, part of the reason why he's arrested is because Starsha Clark goes in and is like, oh, he's not driving a blue truck, it's aquamarine or whatever. Like, she updates it and he's like immediately arrested.
Yeah, because they find out, like, the way the APB was like, it was just a blue-green car. Yes. And so she goes in and is more specific and is like, aquamarine, turquoise, like, all these other names, and that's how she's caught. Right. It's not, like, she accurately describes, and then her partner is like, well, I thought blue-green would have done it all, and he's like, well, no,
sure thing, Browder.
Sure, dude. Cool talk. So then that, because everyone obviously wants to talk to him to see if he knows more, and I forget his interviews with the cops.
Yeah, I don't really remember the interviews with the cops, but they're like, the whole thing was like they were going to visit KT's stepbrother or something, who does or does not exist, I can't remember. And they're like, KT says that Dylan was talking about getting out of town and he left them all there. And then KT, air quotes, drove Jamal home or whatever. I don't know. So his interview is basically like, Dylan went off by himself. He left early. We all stayed there until Sunday.
But then after that, once he gets back, you know, he's not talking to Kimbra. And then eventually, in one of Luke's chapters, Luke and then the two new guys, whoever they are, go to his house. And they're like, why did you come back?
We told,
like,
you not to come back here, KT.
Yeah, that's exactly how they sound, too. That was very accurate. And he does that, and he was like, guys, I got arrested, and they sent me back here. Like, I couldn't help it, so here I am. And they end up beating him up, like, really bad. And Luke is just like, what is going on? And they're like, don't question. Do you want to go to the Brightlands,
or do you not want to go to the Brightlands? Don't you just want to be accepted, Luke? Shut your little mouth.
Yeah, you don't question what you see here. And then the next day is when Joel and Starsha Clark go to see KT Staler.
Yeah, and Joel's like, wow, look at that bathroom door.
Yeah, it looks suspiciously like the bathroom door. What a jaunty
angle it's at.
Because of his laptop and the laptop screen. And you find out that KT Staler is the one who made that profile for Dylan because he was upset with Dylan. So he took his own dirty photos, but photoshopped Dylan's face on it.
Yeah.
For revenge. And I don't remember revenge for what. But as we get farther, because we're getting closer to, like, the other stuff, one thing that was important is in relation to the, you know, people not sleeping and the weird voices that you hear. Starsha Clark mentions a lot about how her mother was seen as crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Because she just would tell these stories about some creature in, like, the flatlands back there, or the flats or something.
Swamp creature.
Beauchamp. And it'll get you. And Beauchamp.
Oh.
And no, it is like Beauchamp or Beauchamp, something like that.
Good old Beau.
But, you know, everyone always kind of considered her crazy, but Starsha's like, yeah, well, she also predicted her own death, so where are we at with that?
Who's crazy now? And that plays now?
A little bit later. Yeah, but she actually was the most sane of them all, because she was correct. Mm-hmm. Throughout this time, too, with the investigation that they're doing, I know Joel, so you have Dylan, who was gay and was, you know, murdered and went missing. You have Troy, who was gay, murdered, went missing. And then you have someone else that was more along, like, the adults era. I forget what his name was, but then there's a third guy who went missing as well.
Yeah.
And that is, like, I think when people are talking about, oh, well, the last time it wasn't this bad, that was the last time that they were talking about, was when this young man went missing as well. And just like Troy, no one knows what happened to him. And it's just like, oh, okay. But you find out that he was involved in the group with, like, the coach and some other people too. I think she was actually, he was actually dating Starsha's mom too, I think.
Yeah, because he was her first love, and she used to talk about him constantly, and it irritated Starsha's dad that he could never measure up to
this guy.
Missing boy number one.
Well, because he was also, again, star quarterback. Like, he was very popular, and so they have that in common, too, that he was, like, the golden boy, basically.
Yeah.
And then, so what? We have Jamal is arrested. Kimber is asking about the Brightlands, which is bad. Bethany knows something's up. They're all trying to find the Brightlands.
Yeah.
To the point where Kimbra is at her store because her dad owns some sort of hardware store.
Yeah, he owns
or something.
Like a local drug store. Yes.
Maybe it's the drug store.
Because like a Walmart or something opens up down the street, and he was like, "Don't you worry about me. I sell bison T-shirts or whatever."
So suck it, Walmart. And then they end up getting lured there. So Kimbra goes, and then I think that one dude. Because the guy that has the dates tattooed on his butt
deputy
is a deputy as well.
Browder.
No, who's Starsha's partner, though? Because
deputy
then there's two. There's
Browder. Starsha's no, the partner is deputy unknown name old man.
Okay. I thought he was Browder and the other one was some...
Because she doesn't work directly with Browder because Browder is directly working with the sheriff who is also in on it.
Okay. Well, him. He, like, cold clocks Kimbra. She passes out. Joel goes there because Kimbra texts him. And then same thing happens with him to where, like, you know, they all kind of end up waking up in the Brightlands. And
yeah,
then on the
Bethany
other end...
gets in Luke's truck and, like, hides in the truck bed. And that's how she gets there. And then, meanwhile... at the prison, Jamal's lawyer shows up and is like, they spelled your middle name wrong or whatever.
Yeah, so we can get out now.
And so
like,
they
have to
release
now.
You. And he like sweeps away into the night with Jamal. And Jamal is like, no, wait, I have to go back. Like, what's happening to my friends?
Yes.
And that's how he meets up with, he goes to KT Staler's house. And Starsha Clark is with two other football players who are also like, something is desperately wrong.
Yes.
Help us.
They approach her at a game. Because it's also the night of the big game, too.
The finals.
The finals, which is like the first time that Luke is, you know. Playing quarterback. And they end up winning.
Yay.
And woo. Yeah, so then they approach and then they end up all kind of, you have that band of people that are now trying to get there. And guess what? Guess who knows how to get there? KT Staler.
Yeah.
So then they make their way to the Brightlands. But when Joel wakes up, well, I guess we should first talk about how Luke's perspective, because that really sets the scene for like what it is.
Yeah.
The Brightlands, basically.
Yeah,
so he's like,
Luke wins the game and he's like, that was a lot of pressure. I feel bad for Dylan. And then his dad's like, good job, son. And fist bumps
him.
And so Luke is gay, and he's fine with that. He doesn't, like, feel the shame that everybody else does. So he gets to the Brightlands, they blindfold him, they strip him naked, and they're like, bleed for us? I don't know. Somebody cuts him.
Oh, yeah, they do. And then that's the other thing where it was like, Dylan had a cut on the back of his thigh, and then you start other players, eventually people start noticing.
They all have, like, white scars on their chest or arm or whatever, but everybody has a white scar that's, like, associated with this club. And so Dylan, that happens to you, and he feels like a bright flash of light. And then when they unblindfold him, they're in this field surrounded by trailers, and then those bright ass football lights are set up, and he's like surrounded in a circle by football players, and not just from their school, from other schools as well, because he sees like some kid that tackled him and like in the big game or whatever, and they're all in like various states of undress, and Luke is like, what is this? And Lost Boy number three is like...
Isn't his name Garrett?
One is named Garrett, but I think Garrett's the one that goes off the rails.
Yeah, this is one of them. That's who I think is the one who is leading him around.
No, the one who is leading him around is... This is one of the chapters that I randomly listened to when we were looking for names, and I've already forgotten it again.
Okay, anyways. Well, isn't this the guy that walks around? He's like, yeah, so we're going to walk around, and he just, like, cups some dude's balls.
Yeah.
And then Luke's like, what's going on?
Yeah, Luke is like, what are we
what is this place
doing? here. Because they're in, like, football pads with no pants, and, like, just...
Yeah.
It's bananas. It's the red light district of Amsterdam, but...
For, like, teenage boys.
Teenage boys and football coaches.
And old, and adults.
Lawyers, and what... It's...
Gross.
It's gross.
It's really bad. Because you find out, like, Coach Carter is there, and you have, the DA is there too, in, like, assless chaps.
Yep.
And, like, leather chaps and everything.
Yeah, he is.
And then Kimbra's dad's there too.
Yeah.
So you have, like, all these, like, legacies Kimbra, that are there.
I think that part, Kimbra, the reason why she gets hit on the head is because she's like, why is my singlet up there? And she's, like, facing away, reaching for one of her, like, cheerleading uniforms. And it's because her dad goes to the Brightlands in the cheerleading uniform and a wig. So this other kid, Mitchell Malachek. Ha ha! Ha! I did it. He's leading him around, and he's like, this is the drug barn, and this is the cowboy room, and this is where the DA goes. Don't go in there, because he's disgusting, and blah, blah, blah. And he's leading him around, and Luke is like, so are you all gay, then? And Mitchell's like, no, sometimes, but not everyone.
Yeah, like, we just go here to, like, let off some steam and blah, blah, blah. It's, like, the epitome of, you know how, like, a lot of guys our generation is like, oh, no homo. Like, this book is just like that, but it's like, okay, but you obviously are gay and it's fine. Because, like, this is, holy cow, just admit it, it's okay.
What's not fine is, like, doing a bunch of Molly with adults. In this field.
Correct.
Stop.
Yeah. Like, you guys are being taken advantage of, and the adults, please don't ever do that again. You should go to jail.
And, like, one of the trailers, how they, like, get kind of trapped in this, one of the trailers has the picture that's taken of them when they're naked and whatever. Like, every single initiation is photographed, and they keep that picture so that you're, like, stuck.
Well, it's crazy too, because it's like, when I forget if it's him or if it's, I think it is Luke, because Luke ends up kind of being by himself for a bit and, like, wandering around before he meets up with one of the other guys. He's, like, walking up, and he thinks it's, like, shingles, but it's the Polaroids that are, like, decked out on this, you know, trailer that shows all the photos. So it's very, this place is, like, hidden, but those photos are very prominent still in the whole thing.
So Luke is kind of discovering that that's happening. And at the same time, Kimbra and Joel are being held captive in one of the trailers with the coach, the DA, and then Deputy Browder. And they're talking about what needs to be done. And obviously the only thing that can be done is murder them.
Correct, because you can't let the secret get out that, you know, these high-profile, trusted individuals are also... partaking, one, in abuse, but, you know, the bigger sin out of abuse and being gay is being gay. They're more worried about the fact that they're
in this town, doing, not that, that they're than... abusing children and have been for decades. Not great. So they're, like, discussing what to do with them, and then it comes to light that Bethany Taylor, or whatever, Tanner, I don't know, is out there running around with a shotgun.
I love her so much because she's like, starts to...
Her little pep talks to herself. She's like, no, be the girl. Don't just think about
it. She's like, I'm the sharpest shot in the West. Like, I can do this. I can... Basically, I'm not going to believe... She can kick some So she finds a gun. And, like, I think Mitchell Malachek is the one who finds her, right? Like, someone goes up because they need something from the bed of his car. Yeah. And she is just, like, ready to go, rifle cocked, and, like, is trying to shoot him.
Right. And that's when...
and he's like, oh, no.
All hell breaks loose.
Literally,
so you have that going on. And at nearly the same time, Starsha and her three teenage boys pull up, and Garrett shows back up. And Garrett, I think, was sent to kill KT. That's why he, like, wasn't there at first. I can't remember.
I don't know. I think he was somewhere else, but then, because then he's like the coach's, like, right-hand man was how you find some things, but he ends up just rocking up with, like, I think a helmet, like, some shoulder pads, maybe pants, and, like, rifles or semi-automatic guns, and, like, going insane.
Yep.
Is what happens.
Yeah. And KT Staler is like, oh, don't pull up in this truck. Like, we have to sneak up, and I don't remember why she doesn't listen, but... they just drive full force into it, and Garrett Mason just opens up on the truck and shoots it a bunch.
Well, and also, we have to go back, because at this point, too, isn't it like the DA finally admits what happens to Dylan at this point, right? Like, don't they know that something happened? Because they end up revealing, like, oh, you know, Dylan was killed. Or was that when the other person is talking?
I don't remember. I honestly, I don't remember really why it is that they killed him.
Oh, I remember why they killed him. Because you have something, so things kind of get distracted, right? It's because you have, like, all the shots being fired out there, which takes the DA and the coach away. Mm-hmm. But before you find that out, Joel mentions that first football player's name, and the coach punches him just straight in the face, and you kind of get the impression that they were together at the Brightlands, and that leaves Browder there, because something Starsha realizes...
Butt tattoos.
The butt tattoos, sees, and I forget...
She's on Dylan's phone in his, like, Snapchat
or something.
She sees a picture of the bison butt cheeks, and she's like, oh, mm-hmm. Dylan and Browder were an item. Oh! That's
yeah,
why.
There it is. Yeah, exactly. Dun, dun, dun.
Good luck lowering my volume on that one.
I'll have to do it really low. But yeah, you find that out because, you know, Browder is left with him. And this is where the real big horror elements come in, because, like, Joel describes looking at Browder, and his, like, eyes are just black mm-hmm. and glossy. And this being starts to talk through bechamel or whatever it is, starts talking through... What is it? Bethlehem?
It's ravioli.
Beauchamp starts talking to him and is just like, you know, Deputy Browder was so angry when he saw your text to Dylan that you were going to come take him away. And he thought he was going to leave him, and... You know, Dylan tried to console him and tell him that, like, he would go to a local college that was close enough to still come home and see him, but he got jealous and he killed him.
Yeah.
So then because he was killed on the Brightlands grounds, they're like, we need to cover this up, which then explains why he was found only wearing, like, jeans, no underwear, a Letterman jacket, and no socks.
Right.
Because that's, you know, everyone is walking around in either that.
That's my casual Tuesday outfit.
Yeah, I don't see the problem, really. I also don't even own a Letterman jacket, so that's whatever. And then, really, truly, all hell breaks loose, because you have people shooting out there. They somehow...
Running and shooting, and they shoot the generator. There's gas on the ground.
Well, then you find... Yeah, so there's that, and then the house starts to become on fire, and they're trying to get out.
The house starts to become on fire.
Leave me alone.
And they're like, no, not the house on fire.
Well, because Joel's also, like, they're chained up. Like,
so Kimbra is chained to, like, a loose, rusty pipe, and she just, yes. like, tugs on it real hard. Because she's strong uh-huh. from lifting Bethany's dumb ass into the air, is basically her thought process as she is ripping the pipe down. And then she gets out and she lets Joel out. And that's when Starsha and I think Jamal mm-hmm. come around and they're like talking to each other through the window.
Yeah.
And
then what they end up seeing, Luke Evers gets shot.
Yeah.
Like right across the place. Like Kimbra was able to get free. She sees that and she's like, I need to help him.
Right.
So they're like, okay, like they get the key because Starsha is like, I'm really hoping that what they locked you up with are department key, yeah. Cuffs because then I have a key. So
yeah, they do I remember that, Kimbra like breaks the free. Window and they're like, damn, this girl's. Something else. Yeah. And she hands uh-huh. her the keys and they unlock them.
And then so Joel and them are trying to get out while Kimbra is running across the field to get to Luke
Uh-oh.
When she is shot.
Yeah.
And who would it be to shoot her? Her dad.
In drag.
And I think almost immediately after he realizes it, he was like, why did nobody tell me she was here?
Why would she be here?
Yeah, why would she be here? And then he immediately unalives himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
Starsha gets inside somehow, where Joel is. Because I know there's, like, a standoff, And Joel is like, what do I do? And then he's like, the ghost of my brother tells me what to do.
Oh, yeah. But isn't that then how they found the remains?
Yeah.
And like a hole. And they're like, oh, well, this guy, the first guy, the quarterback who went missing, yeah. like.
And that's when
that's where
Coach
he is.
Carter is like, oh, we woke it up when I accidentally killed my bestie. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, like, we've been able to keep him quiet until Dylan's death. And now Beauchamp is ready to emerge from the underground.
And be our...
And he needs, like, a disciple. That's not what they call them. A vessel. He needs a vessel. And they find out that, like, the vessel must be filled with shame.
Well, then isn't it's Garrett, right? That ends
it
up
It gets
being...
in Browder, and they kill Browder. And then it gets in Garrett, who, like, very clearly through this whole thing, he's been Coach Carter's right-hand man. Who knows what kind of abuse he's sustained? Because you find out, like, KT Staler was, like, abused.
The DA's.
By the DA.
Yeah, by the DA.
The DA was, like, a masochist, but wanted KT to, like, hurt him.
Yeah.
And KT is, like, the things I've seen, like, I can never unsee. It was... KT was actually doing escorting work to try and get money to be able to get out of this town. Like, this kid's life was ruined. So you have to imagine that Garrett went through something that made him so filled with, like, shame and rage. But he is able to be a vessel for Beauchamp. Mm. And he has a gun.
Yes. I think, like, multiple guns. I think he has two. And he's just, like, shooting everybody.
Right. And so they all get outside. And they're getting ready to, like, Garrett is going to, like, kill them. And Luke Evers is like, oh, I'm awake. I'll be your follower, Beauchamp. Give me the gun. And Garrett's like, okie dokie, here. And Luke is like, just kidding. I'm not filled with shame. I'm gay and that's fine. And then he kills Garrett.
I was going to say, I don't remember how Garrett
dies. Yeah. And during all this time, mind you, like, the ground is shaking and, like, tentacles are coming up from this big hole because Beauchamp is going to emerge. I think it's like a catfish with arms because it has whiskers and
it's terrifying.
You only see this creature emerge for like a few seconds because that's when Luke is like, just kidding, I'm not filled with shame. And he kills Garrett, and then Beauchamp goes no and slides back into the hole.
Yep. And then, you know, we fast forward and that's the end of the break.
Yeah, and
basically,
that's
to be honest.
That's the end.
Like, everyone dies.
Truly.
Like, the
DA
is murdered.
The DA.
The coach died.
The coach is dead. Kimber is dead. Most of the, like, KT Staler dies immediately. Whiskey Bravos is another one, also dead. Does Jamal live?
That is true.
I can't remember.
Jamal does live, yeah.
But, so that's, like, the end of the Brightland scene. And then you get a little epilogue. And it's Luke, Bethany, and Jamal are, like, sitting with Joel. And they're like, can we come visit you in New York? Can we be besties?
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
Which is so mean because at the end of every, like, horror movie like that, the answer is yes.
No. And he's
like, those
just
are
like,
your new siblings.
I don't think I could manage to take care of you three in New York. So
yeah,
enjoy your lives. And then he goes and says bye-bye to Starsha and their friends. And she's like, I think I'm going to move away. I'm finally selling my mom's house or whatever. And then Joel gets on a plane to go home. And he has one last vision of Dylan. Dylan saying goodbye. And they're like at a football game. And Dylan is a child again.
That was cute. But we also forgot at the end of Starsha's chapter when Dylan leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Because you still don't know what happened to her brother until she gets a phone call.
Yeah, she's... When Joel goes to visit her the last time, they're, like, talking. And Joel, like, alludes, like, hey, now that we know what happened to these other two, there was only one body there. Like, maybe Troy's alive. And he's, like... He doesn't say that outright, but he's, like, alluding to it. And she's, like, get out of my face.
Yeah.
I'm mad at Troy. Because during the investigation, backtracking, her partner, who is now going to become the sheriff, was like, here are the case files. And they're very clearly doctored. And it basically, he comes out and says, like, we figure that the cartel killed him because he was selling drugs for the cartel. It's either that or he ran away. And she's like, the cartel killed my brother, I'm sure. And then she gets this phone call from Troy, who's still alive in Michigan.
Yeah. And that's how it ends.
Yeah. I actually think that, oh, well, probably Dylan's little child football game is the
Yeah,
very
that's
end,
the
but
ending.
yeah, so
Yeah.
everything gets wrapped up in a nice little bow. Hopefully no other person is murdered in Beauchamp's field. Because that really gets the juices flowing.
That gets him going.
Yeah.
None of this made sense. Like, even just listening to us talk, I'm like, did any of this make sense?
No.
Did we
This was not our best work.
but no, it wasn't. But are we going to improve from this? Probably not.
Are we gonna make any adjustments at all? No.
No,
So if
absolutely
you came
not.
here looking for Victoria Aveyard, I'm real sorry. That ain't what you're getting.
That is the best thing to ever happen to us is her plot twist podcast, because now people are going to accidentally come to this and be like, who are
What are
these
these
two
idiots doing?
idiots? We
And guess
don't
what? We have no
know.
idea.
Couldn't tell you. We're just here having a good
But
time talking
welcome.
about books.
Yeah.
You're welcome. If you want polished, you listen to her podcast. If you want chaos, well, here we are.
Yeah. Do you remember Drunk History? That's what I feel like these episodes are, only we're sober.
I think we should do a drunk episode or at least a buzzed
I was
episode.
just
That
gonna
would be
tell you
funny.
that we're recording a second episode later, and I'm out of fun beverages, and the lowest calorie beverage I have is this like spiked iced tea. So I am moving on to alcohol for episode two.
Oh, nice. I wish. I can't yet. I would. That would be. We're gonna do it though. We're gonna have. It'll be fun. But so tune in, because next week or in 2 weeks is our 1 year anniversary of doing this
It's
podcast,
very
and we
exciting.
have
And
a
we've
very
learned
fun
nothing.
zero. We've learned nothing. It'll still be just as chaotic. I think we know the plot of the next book a lot better than we knew this one, so we have that
God, I
going
hope
for
so.
us. So tune in if you're with it. you can find us at Plot Twist I Forgot on Instagram, and then our individual Bookstagram accounts will also be in the show notes below. And we're gonna see you in 2 weeks.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.